Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 on Pew Bible page number 297. Let us hear God's word this morning. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were in Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men from the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen!" But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Our New Testament lesson comes from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, on Pew Bible page 815. Children of God, let us listen to his word. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart from them by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, that it lights our path and guides our hearts, that it leads us and keeps us, that it shows us the path to take to serve you. Gracious God, we love because you love us. We serve because you have shown us how to serve. Guide us and lead us through your word. Bless the meditations of our minds and hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. As I told the kids during the children's message, I love Peter, especially in this passage, because he responds as so many of us do. We don't know what to say, and so we say instantly in that moment what just kind of pops into our head. There's no filter for Peter here. He is enjoying this moment to its utmost. He's so excited. He wants to capture the moment. He wants, more than anything, for it to be enjoyed by everyone. But then God comes and puts a bit of a damper on his exuberance with the statement, "Listen to him." The joy of the moment for Peter is just like a kid at Christmas. That moment when the kid hits the stairs and sees the full wonder of Christmas there, it is a smile as broad, and Peter is all about it. Now, our Old Testament lesson is a bit different from the exuberance of Peter. It's almost a slow burn reaction. As we see the transfiguration being a celebratory moment, we see Elijah and Elisha steadily, in almost funeral procession sort of situation, walking and moving forward. There's got to be a mixed bag of emotions for Elijah and for Elisha, each one walking a step further for the time when Elijah, his time as a prophet, would be over and he would ascend to heaven with God. And Elisha's time as a prophet would begin, his promotion, if you will. Sure, he's accepted his call. Sure, he has followed and learned at the feet of his master. And he has helped him to transition to a new point. But it's a whole different ballgame being the associate prophet and being the senior prophet. The training of period is about to come to an end. And then there's the outside voices. Every stop along the way, everyone has this little bit of information they want to remind Elisha about. Hey, you know that today your master's gonna get taken up. And I read that with a particular response coming. I can't ever picture Elisha, make sure I don't confuse the two, responding well to this constant reminder. He is focused on what's going to happen. He can't help but deal with the emotions that are swirling around like the whirlwind in him. He's dialed in, focused, like an athlete, an artist, or any other form of creator that has their project, and that's all they can see. You could put a marching band behind him, and he's not going to be able to adjust his focus. Elisha knows what's coming, both his own transition, but his master's transition in this moment. Every step is one that's closer. And while we look at it with the foregone conclusion of course he's going to take up the mantle, of course he's going to be the prophet, there's this transitional moment of, if not, it will not, with the power and glory of God through the prophet being continued. So often we read moments with the spoilers installed. But Elisha follows his master, and each time gets a little more frustrated. But then there's this test for Elisha. If you see me taken up, what you have asked will be granted by God. Now, the double portion asked for is not a double portion of Brussels sprouts and green beans. It's a double portion of God's Spirit in the prophet. When we look at the struggles and strains of Elijah, it is only natural for us to look at those struggles and think, this is Elisha who has walked with and followed Elijah and has figured out how much more he's going to need from God. And so there's this tension of the moment. That tension of, will he watch? Will he see? Will God's Spirit transition from one to the other? We need to back up from spoilers in Scripture. Spoilers that kind of ruin the moment when we read them. You think about it, when you've seen the movie Casablanca for the 100th time, you know that there's no tension in the ending. You know how it's going to end because you've seen it that 100 times. But think about what tension exists in that initial moment, that first time you saw it. You don't know who's getting on the plane. You don't know what's going to happen after people get on the plane. See, I'm trying my best to not give spoilers as I talk about not leaving in spoilers. The fact of the matter is there is a very real tension in both of our scriptures today. The first scripture in the Old Testament, there is tension about the Spirit of God transitioning from one prophet to the other. In the Transfiguration, there is a tension inherent in that moment, because in that tension comes a temptation. I've talked about this before, that from the time of the very first temptation in the wilderness, Christ walks along a path where he is tempted. Every step along the way, Christ is tempted to go a different road, to take a different path, to diverge from the path God has set. Every time he's tempted. Now, the difference between he and us is that when Christ is tempted, there is a follow-through that always turns down temptation. We often give in where Christ never does. And so when Christ sees these moments, we know the moment, but we need to understand that if John Williams were composing for our scriptures, there would be this great heavy music building the tension of the moment. And if you're not a John Williams fan, insert whatever composer you'd like. He did Star Wars and Jurassic Park, so that's why I use him. The fact is there's this crescendo building as Peter says, Jesus, I know what we should do. We should build three houses. There's this building of the moment. And then comes the booming voice of God that shakes them out of their malaise. We see Christ triumphing over temptation. We see Christ affirming, as God affirms him as his son, Christ affirms his obedience to God and continues down the path. As God's voice ceases, there is only one path for Christ to take. When Elijah watches the whirlwind happen, there's only one path for him to take. Just because we know the end of the story, just because we know how things play out, doesn't mean that it isn't a life or death moment. It doesn't mean that there aren't multiple paths available just because we know which one the right one is. There was this level of not knowing. Now, when I was younger back many, many years ago, we had Saturday morning cartoons. Some of us who are in that age range remember it was a great day. You'd turn on the shows at 8 o'clock, you'd watch Smurfs and whatever, and you'd be able to enjoy cartoons. And involved in that were some great cereal commercials, but also the occasional Say No to Drugs commercial. And they were terrible. Not because of the message, but because you know how the story was going to play out. Every time, they wouldn't show you if there was a tension-filled moment. Of course the kid is going to say no to peer pressure, say no to drugs. You knew how it was going to play out. It was very, very, very problematic because there wasn't the worrying, there wasn't the tension. You wanted the tension. You wanted the wonder. But there wasn't any. So you kind of waited for Smurfs to come back on, or X-Men, or what have you. It just was kind of something you had to get through. Now, just because we knew the story and it was poorly done doesn't mean that in life those moments weren't tension-filled. Our lives have moments where tension exists, where we're left to answer the question of what is next? How do we respond? Elisha is challenged with a what's next. How does he respond when he is given the choice? Does he watch his master taken up, or does he not? Again, we know the story, so the tension ekes out of the moment. We know that Christ is the Son of God. We know how his ministry goes, so the tension is not in the transfiguration. But that doesn't mean that when Peter throws temptation out there, there isn't tension in there. We as the church, the body of believers, are filled with what is known as what was and what is. But God calls us to respond in the time of what is and what will be. That's the tension we live in. That's one of the tensions we live in. When we see moments like the Transfiguration, great moments where we see God's presence, it's tempting to live in that moment, to enjoy it for everything it's worth, to try and recreate verbatim that moment, to build three houses for Jesus, Elisha, and Moses. But the challenge for us is, what do we do next? What is our next response to the next moment we see God? What is our next thing? You see, because God's Spirit isn't sitting still, it's continually moving and working in and through us. Now, last week I mentioned that a church shouldn't focus on replicating programmings, but more replicating the ethos, the spirit by which we do things. The challenge for all of us is to respond to the Spirit in a welcoming and listening way. It's easy to be joyful and excited in a moment. It's difficult to listen as that moment proceeds forward, as that Spirit continues to push and move us, where we're challenged the next time the Spirit is pushing us, moving into that place of what will be, what might be, what could be, instead of what was. We need to remember all that happened when Elisha, after he took up the mantle. What happened after? All of those moments after. All of those moments for Christ after the Transfiguration. So many times we focus on the great moments that are, and we lose sight of the moments that will be. That's our challenge, brothers and sisters, to let the Spirit move us, to let it blow us, to move beyond the great and awesome moments where we've seen God's Spirit active and present, to allow God's movement in our lives. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord's Spirit move us, blow us, and continue to challenge us as we seek to be his people in this world. Amen.